time being 7:04, I call to order the Franklin School Committee meeting. Meetings are recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29, as well as recorded by Franklin Matters. At the conclusion of our meeting, we will be adjourning to executive session and will not be returning to open meeting. All right, so for our Plitch students, so we have Ryan Cody. Ryan, kind of come on up. Ryan is a shining example of a fifth grader. He has grown so much this year. Ryan has shown himself to be willing to seek and accept feedback in order to build on his strengths, to develop and meet challenges of fifth grade. Being a fifth grader is not an easy job. The expectations are high and the rewards are not always as tangible as in earlier grades. Ryan works hard to meet these expectations and to encourage others to do so as well by his example. He is always willing to share his thinking, especially in math, even when that requires a bit of risk-taking. Outside of school, Ryan has a variety of interests, especially sports. He enjoys football, basketball, and baseball. He is an avid basketball player and can usually be seen gathering a group to play at recess. He enjoys spending time with his family and his dogs, Zola, Maverick, and Daisy. All right, y'all, please stand. Lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, as is customary, we'll pause for a moment of silence. You guys want to take off, feel free to. Thanks so much, Ryan. All right, review of agenda. Agenda look okay to everybody? All right, payment of bills is taken care of. Payroll, Vice Chair McNeil.
Payroll's all set.
FHS reps.
We have no reps tonight. It's clearly the spring season has hit. There's a lot of things happening, not just with athletics, but I know students who are prepping for May AP exams all the way to just keeping up with just regular life. So we don't have anybody here tonight.
Okay. Well, how about superintendent's reports?
Okay, I have just two announcements. One, theater company. So the Franklin High School Theater Company recently performed The Yellow Boat by David Sarr at the Massachusetts Education Theater Guild, which is the high school theater festival. I referenced this last meeting, but wanted to just talk through how proud we are to share that they were not only selected, as you know, to participate in the state finals, but they did a phenomenal job on March 28th in the John Hancock Hall in Boston. I had the honor of attending the performance, and while they did not take home the top prize, the students performed at an exceptionally high level. And in my eyes, they were winners because this production is a deeply moving production, if anyone has had the opportunity to see it. But I was truly amazed on how the students could evoke emotion from the crowd in 40 minutes, like start to finish, to be able to create a scenario and a setting and tell a story and then create that type of human emotion was just amazing. And I think that's the magic of that type of that art. So it was tremendous. And a special shout out to our Franklin Theater Company students, the director, Chloe Selznick. And this marks the first time in over a decade Franklin High School has advanced to the state finals. It's a milestone worth celebrating. Lastly, our theater parents, I wanted to just thank them for their continued support. I know, and you're a former theater parent, the work that goes in. So we congratulated the kids, you know, when I saw them at the end and said hello. I walk out of the building. There's a parent driving a U-Haul truck, big U-Haul truck, to pick up equipment. So I just think, like, when we think about our families and many activities, but this is just a good example of the parent group and the fact that they're pulling up in Boston in the middle of, if you know where the John Hancock Hall is, it's not like it's a rural area, it's a pretty busy area, to see this huge
U-Haul.
Thank you, U-Haul truck that they had to then load and unload. It was pretty, showed a lot of collaboration and a lot of the work. So I think those are important things to highlight as well. So I just wanted to put a shout out there. The second is congratulations to our FHS musicians for their MICA season. Congratulations to the Wind Ensemble, Concert Band, String Orchestra, Repertory Orchestra, Concert Choir and the Treble Choir on their incredible performances at the MICA Festival, and we're incredibly proud of our students for their hard work and dedication. Specifically from MICA for results, the Concert Choir earned a silver, Treble Choir, Concert Band, both also earned silvers, and then we had three gold awards in the Wind Ensemble, String Orchestra, and Repertory Orchestra earning gold. So we were thrilled to share this news. Their next event will be on Sunday the 13th at Groton Hill Music Center, and it's free and open to the public, and more details to come on times and whatnot, but just wanted to give a shout out to the program, and that completes my announcement. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
Just one comment. I wanted to shout out my favorite night of the year.
Yes.
Science Night, so that's Thursday. I unfortunately will not be able to attend and tour it. I got like too many things with the kids and whatnot, but I just want to make sure folks know about that. That's a great time and just blast to see what the high school kids do.
If Keaton was here, he would have. I usually lean on them to do that type of promotion, but yeah, the Science Night is a very popular night. Kids love it. I recommend it as well. I've taken my kids to it. Many of you had as I look around. It's a great opportunity. So, thank you for reminding us, Mr. Charles.
No comment. Just thank you for the update.
No comment. I got to attend MICA and see a couple of the performances. So, kudos to Diane Pliff and all the music department. I know. Like the theater kids, they're always going above and beyond.
Yeah. You know? Thanks. It's wonderful to see what the kids here are doing in Franklin, especially not any one group over the other, but what the theater club is doing this year particularly. I know we had Jane Bernstein kind of came after the Outsiders to kind of talk about the difficulties that the theater club had to do as they effectively just rebuilt after the failed override. And the grit and determination of the students and the families and everybody involved is fantastic. So
Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Discussion action items.
All right, so for discussion action items, you'll notice there's three things. The first two are kind of related. One, the first one is around school choice, and the second is around foreign exchange students. And both of those are school committee votes to approve the recommendation. For the same reasons as last year, for the school choice vote, I'll just start there. I recommend that we not accept school choice students for the 25-26 school year. The obvious reason is we're in the midst of such change. You just heard about student placement and wanting to do that thoughtfully. We're not really in a position to add another variable. I think we need to really think and prioritize the students that reside in our town, that currently are attending our schools or will in the future or move here. And for that reason, I recommend not accepting school choice for this school year.
All right. Is there a motion?
I move to not accept school choice students for the 2025-2026 school year as discussed.
All right. Second?
Second.
All right. Questions, comments?
So this is something I know we brought up annually, mm-hmm. twice now for me. But it is something that I do want us to look into a little bit more kind of in the future, especially if we're able to solidify kind of our base. I can understand, especially this year, just like last year, not knowing exactly how things are going to shake out. You know, to Al's point earlier, you know, the importance of this override really cannot be understated. But I do think that it's something that would be valuable to look into and discuss a little bit more from a point of stability. So potentially next year, when somebody else has to be asking these questions, having a little bit more of a kind of hashed out discussion around why, you know, what might benefit from this, you know, mm-hmm. how the district might benefit versus, you know, kind of why we've continued going down this path.
Yeah.
I think it's the same basically for both, but yeah. Get it all out now.
And I think I agree with you, Ron. And in a stabilized environment, I may have different feelings or a different recommendation even to come before you. But I understand the point around wanting to have that discussion and really talk through the pros and cons and have it. I appreciate the thought and the support of not wanting to add anything at this moment in the acknowledgement, but understand the point that you've made, Mr. Griffith, around future conversations and just discussing it with more of a whole conversation.
Awesome. Thank you.
No questions.
No questions, but I agree. I think this is just one more variable right now, and we really need to level set and find some stability. So yeah, I agree that it's inappropriate at this time, though. Conceptually, I do like it, but under different circumstances, I think it would be a different conversation.
Yeah, I know, just to reiterate, there's no way I would try to bring something like that on right now, but I do know, I know Celia Courtwright specifically, and I were working on numbers with this, and I know she met with Jana at one point and talked about this, and it did look like where the enrollment's kind of going like this, that center spot, where like 7th to 9th grade, and she calculated some math, so it's worth exploring, and there's some pretty solid constituents out there doing some of the heavy lifting and thought, you know, to bring you something decent, maybe to check out in a year or two. Okay. So, thanks.
Thanks.
But yeah, I would never ask you to take on more students right now in this, but yeah.
And online?
No question, but yes, thank you.
Perfect. And yeah, I agree with my colleagues as well. I know we spoke about this because it's not come up in a couple of years, and there's that revenue side. But yeah, just right now the instability and the kind of unknown what's going forward. But I really do see a lot of potential next year with this reorganization. You know, because when we, as you know, Vice Chair McNeil mentioned this a couple of months ago, I had a great comment. You know, you add one extra student, you know, the teacher salary doesn't change. You remove one extra student, the teacher salary doesn't change. That overhead is already kind of built in, and with this reorganization. And you know, if we're able to, you know, fix the structural deficit as well and get a stable budget year over year, we stabilize this and it just continues to offer up more revenue opportunities as well, like this. So it'll be interesting in years to come. But any other discussion?
The math too, I should point out, it was like $500,000 to $600,000 for 30 students, and I think it was like the 9th grade that we were looking at as like a model to kind of play around with. I don't want to frighten.
I don't want to go down in history as like the anti-school choice person. Yeah. I was a principal of a district that did school choice. I'm not against it. I think you have to know. It's almost like when you're signing off on a mortgage. You have to know every aspect. When you accept a school choice, you keep a school choice for the whole time of the duration.
Right.
There's a lot of other pieces to consider, and it's not that it's a no. It's just, it's like, I think the point that I'm getting is, let's have an informed conversation about the whole picture, and then ultimately it's the purview and the authority of the school committee to decide whether you would want to do that. The other piece is you can recommend specific grade levels, to your point, around where there's openings or a wide gap in under-enrolled grades. So I think there's ways to look at it that we can certainly talk about and do. And I appreciate the comments around this year and the uniqueness we're in right now.
All right, terrific. Then vote will come on a roll call. Gallagher?
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sampal? Yes. And Callahan? Yes. Motion passes.
Great, thank you. Next, I have the foreign exchange student vote, and a policy is attached in your packet. It's JFABB, and basically this policy talks through kind of the criteria around foreign exchange students. While the district nor the town are liable for any expenses related to this, this is not a school choice type mechanism where you receive funding for a student. But for the same reasons as above, this particular year, I am recommending that we not accept foreign exchange students for the 25-26 school year as discussed.
Entertain a motion.
Move to not accept foreign exchange students for the 2025-2026 school year as discussed.
Second?
Second.
All right, questions, comments from the committee? Online? All right, roll call vote. Gallagher?
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sampali?
Yes.
And Callahan? Yes. Excellent.
Okay. for second reading. I recommend adoption and elimination of the following policies as discussed. The second reading for the ACA non-discrimination of on the basis of sex and elimination of ACA-R non-discrimination on the basis of sex under Title IX under sex-based harassment.
Entertain a motion.
Move to adopt and eliminate the policies as discussed.
Second.
Second.
Discussion questions?
Just clarification point on the underlying driver of this.
The presidential executive orders.
Thank you.
Vote will come on a motion. Gallagher?
Yes.
Griffith?
No.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sampoli?
Yes.
Callaghan? Yes.
6-1.
Thank you all. All right, discussion only items, grants update.
Okay, so I'm going to kick it over to Ms. Malotti. This was a there's a memo in your packet around grants, their purpose, and some of the numbers and figures associated with them. I'll kick it over to Jana to share. You had asked for this last school committee meeting, so we're just following up on that request.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. For your request, I am providing you with the breakdown of the grants awarded to the Franklin Public Schools for the FY25 school year. You can see in your packet a summary of the amounts awarded by each grant and what expenses we incurred thus far. I will go over each grant pretty quickly and give you the bottom line overall of awarded and expended today. So you see Title I, which provides additional funds to school districts with high numbers of low-income students, with the goal of making sure every child can access a good education, no matter their economic situation. Title II offers additional resources to school districts to enhance support systems for quality teaching and leadership. Title III supports English learners by helping them become fluent in English and meet state academic standards. Title IV provides districts with funds to build capacity and ensure all students have access to a well-rounded, high-quality education. Then you come to the special education grants. The IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, provides funding to make sure that eligible students with disabilities can access a free and suitable public education. And then you jump onto the Innovation Career Pathways Planning and the Program Development, Growth, and Enhancement, which aims to supply resources for the creation, expansion, and execution of innovation career pathway programs. They are recognized by the state. Then you see the Project Lead the Way for the high school, which is an initiative that offers professional development, curriculum materials, instructional resources, and support for teachers to implement the Project Lead the Way biomedical science curriculum within the healthcare and social assistance innovation career pathway. And the Project Lead the Way for the middle school, it's an initiative that provides professional development, curriculum materials, instructional resources, and support for educators to introduce additional applied learning programs from Project Lead the Way. And last but not least, the Visiting Author Grant from the Franklin Cultural Council, which is a program that offers great benefits, such as encouraging literacy as a core value in middle schools. Thanks to the generous support from the Franklin Cultural Council, this program will extend into FY26. The overall awarded amount for all these grants is $1,683,087. And the expenses incurred thus far is $735,783. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much.
You're
Sorry. Online, KP?
Thank you. No, I don't have any questions.
Well, first of all, thank you for this information. It's great to have and great to see. The, I mean,
yeah, fiscal impact that that these grants have. I mean, yeah, $1.7 million, that's a big chunk of change. And yeah, it's certain, you know, if we were to not have that, there would definitely be a significant impact. So thank you for putting the work in to pursue these grants and to make the most of them. I guess my only question, so the Title I, Title II, Title III, Title IV, and the IDEA, those are all federal, correct?
Yes.
Okay, with what the current administration has in mind for the Department of Education, we haven't had any indication yet that these funds will be available either way, but there's uncertainty around that, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so we're still kind of just in a holding pattern to wait and see if, even if they are still given on paper, it might be slowed down because typically when you fire people, things don't work as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works in the future, because that might have a direct impact on our district.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. Right. Specifically, the special education.
Special ed.
Grants. Yeah.
Be huge.
Yeah. We fund 35 ESPs with that grant. So
as well as supplies and materials for students and programming, professional development, lots of things.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, thank you.
No questions. Thank you.
One for me. Thanks. Yeah, really, also, thank you so much. Especially, you know, I know we will hear from time to time, well, you know, you have these financial, you know, issues going on with the schools. Why don't you just go and get more grants? And you are. And we're still having financial difficulties. Like, the cost of doing business is increasing year over year. And, you know, you're doing a phenomenal job, your entire team, to save, you know, this community, the taxpayers, a substantial amount of money through this reorganization process. And as, you know, all my colleagues mentioned, you know, we do have on June 3rd, the community has that opportunity to figure out, do they want to solve this structural deficit, or do they want to incur an additional $2 million worth of cuts to the school? So thank you very much for putting this together. I think it's very helpful, and you know, we'll throw it out at the FinCom meeting. They'll love to see that outside of the box thinking. All right, school committee information matters. Superintendent evaluation.
You have an update, believe it or not. Yeah, look at that. we finalized that the superintendent will be presenting his evidence for his evaluation at the May 13th school committee meeting. Members will then have until the end of the month to complete the superintendent evaluation, so it'll be a little under 3 weeks at that point. And the subcommittee will meet during the first week of June to assess the data and have the report finalized for a vote on the June 10th school committee meeting. So we actually have an update there.
All right, excellent. And what about budget?
No updates on the subcommittee level, but again, just so the community is aware, there are some other important town-wide budget dates to keep in mind. So FinCom, they're having their budget hearings April 28th, 29th, and May 1st. I believe the school committee date is the 28th. And then town council will be having the hearings on the 21st and the 22nd. So just, you know, important things to keep in mind, just as it all exists in the budget ecosystem of the entire town, the picture. And then lastly, please vote yes on June 3rd.
Thank you. Policy.
With policy, and I should mention with the vote that we just had, I know because it sounds a little harsh to be taking away certain protections, we do still maintain state protections. I think that's important for just anyone who's listening online to think we're not just completely abandoning ship here. The thing that I wanted to bring up about policy was we had a vote tonight to bring a reading to the full committee around the potential of naming the, now that we're having Franklin Middle School and Franklin High School, and we're eliminating the Horace Mann name, we had talked about maybe not doing that, but it was all just very kind of like, let's get the paperwork in, let's figure this out. And then we did receive a letter from the town council that was signed by all council members, just kind of reiterating what a lot of us have already talked about with like different parents and stakeholders. So I think the
the thought is, and it'll be prepared for probably the next meeting, that we'll have a vote to name it the area, the fields, and the campus, so to speak, of the high school and middle school would be the Horace Mann campus with Franklin Middle School and Franklin High School and Pisani Field and, you know, all that. So just to kind of keep the Horace Mann legacy very much alive in Franklin, just because a lot of other towns use the namesake and we should take ownership of it. And the thought was education should be our brand. So anyway, we moved that forward tonight. So that's what's coming on policy. And we're also discussing the Remington name. We had the Historical Commission come together, and or Dave visited the Historical Commission, and we had people come tonight. Jim Johnson, Ellen Earls was there, Tom Merce was there, and they just kind of reiterated that Remington, although not as famous as Horace Mann, had real significant impact on the educational community of Franklin. So we're talking about, you know, trying to keep that, honor that somehow as well. So that's what's coming up in policy.
It was a full house, and just that kind of that mantra that we've been hearing of honor the past but build the future. And right. So I think Superintendent Jaguar, you mentioned a new business perhaps, but I think we'll talk about
yes.
This idea. Okay, then I won't steal your thunder.
Thank no,
you.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Yeah. If I could just comment on that a little bit.
Sure.
You know, so I know there has been a lot of conversations around the Horace Mann name, making sure that we continue to honor it and recognize it. And I think that this has been a pervasive part of the conversation that we've had around renaming schools. I know it was brought up at, I think, three separate meetings that we've had over the past few months. And has been something that has been regularly part of the conversation, I know, especially around policy. I did also want to really address that letter that we got from town council. I don't know if that is broadly public, if we could kind of, you know, share it somewhere, but I think that it really demonstrated the ability of two different parts of the town to work together in a lot of kind of creative and new ways, you know, their, you know, kind of voice, and really trying to make sure that, you know, the voices that they hear from the community are forwarded on to us, you know, making sure that there is that kind of connection. But then also recognizing, you know, kind of where everyone's lanes are. You know, they mentioned it themselves, you know, that they're excited to be able to support us and help us in this kind of adventure, you know, whether it is through CPA funding, whether it's through some kind of other system to make sure that we can, you know, create, instead of just like a little sign, like really kind of making sure that we're creating a system and a, you know, an environment to honor, you know, the Horace Mann name. But then really kind of putting it back to us to make sure that we're doing it well. And you know, I really wanted to applaud our subcommittee on looking into that, really kind of diving into the different ways that we can honor the Horace Mann name while maintaining this idea of, you know, we are kind of moving forward, you know, honoring the past and that, you know, the idea of a campus or the complex, while recognizing that we do have new schools that are housing multiple different schools kind of combining and melding into one under a new name, but that brand, you know, that kind of public education brand is really continued. And actually on that point, you know, I really wanted to mention, you know, there has been a lot of conversation around how important it is, you know, that we are the, you know, the birthplace of Horace Mann, the father of public education, and people are really very focused on his name. And I wanted to remind folks that, you know, can't say I knew the man personally, but I can assure you that as a father of public education, he most likely would be a big proponent of funding public education well, making sure that overrides are passing, making sure that we have the money required to actually put people in the building that can help support our students, to support the education that we need, and make sure that they have those well-rounded, you know, public educational facilities and experiences. So for all those who are really, really pushing for this, I remind you that he also understood the cost of public education, and that was the big deal, was that public education is something that we fund, that we see is so important. That's why we honor his name. That's why we think that he is a great person to really kind of get behind. And let's honor him as a community and support the override, support any future override, like really making sure that we have all the funds that we need to provide the education for our students. But back on topic, I appreciate the idea about trying to honor him on the kind of a campus-wide concept. Appreciate the town council's support of kind of our role in this and looking for ways that they can help with us. And I really look forward to really kind of taking them up on that offer and seeing what we can do for the schools and for the town's history.
For sure. And you couldn't have said it better, because that was my reaction, was like, that's what I've been saying for 2 years. This should be our brand as we're rebranding and everything. Like, come on, we have to support the schools. So thanks for saying that, you know, because I wanted to be gracious and grateful that this is what's happening, without being frustrated, you know. So thanks.
All right, thank you very much. Let's see, community relations.
So community relations, I can't speak, it's been late. Community relations, we had our monthly newsletter that had gone out the beginning of this month. Our next one will go out on May 1st. We will include what we've heard about tonight and also some promo for the kindergarten days as well. So that will be in there. That's what I was trying to tell you earlier. So we will get that out there through our channels also. We are next meeting on, is that it's next week, hold on a second, I gotta look at my calendar, so many stuff going on. Thursday the 17th, where we will talk about the May newsletter. We'll talk about Strawberry Stroll. Thank you all for accepting those RSVP invites for Strawberry Stroll, but once I get more information, we'll figure out, you know, who can do what. I did get confirmation from the high school that they are going to do the magnets again. So they are designing it. We'll vote on it like we did last year, and we'll let you know what we get. So that's
it. All right, terrific. And join PCC.
Join PCC. We are meeting on the 16th. So we'll see what the PCCs have for an update of what they've been doing for the reorganization and any new topics to discuss.
Excellent. All right. KP Online, SWAC.
SWAC, I don't know what happened this week. Make sure.
Okay, thank you. Mental health.
Yeah, mental health didn't meet since last meeting. Yeah, so.
Okay. And then Rio liaisons?
We haven't met since our last, though I think, you know, we've all heard an update on some of the things happening in the schools tonight.
All right, fantastic. Thank you all so much. Then consent agenda.
I think I had it in front of me. All right, I recommend approval of the minutes from your March 25th, 2025 school committee meeting as detailed. I recommend approval of the request of Brad Hendrickson to take second graders to the Roger Williams Zoo in Providence, Rhode Island on 4/29/25 as detailed. I recommend approval of the request of Brad Hendrickson to take the first graders to the Providence Children's Museum in Providence, Rhode Island on 5/9/25 as detailed.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as detailed?
Move to approve consent agenda as detailed.
Second?
Second.
that lag got you. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm giving it to Paul. Is there any questions or comments?
I heard there's a children's museum opening up in Franklin that maybe they can take advantage of next year instead of going to Providence. But yeah. Right. Hopefully that'll be open in time. That's not a date. That's like a hope, but like I know how that might come across when you're actually trying to get the thing opened. So it's like
all right. Then we'll do roll call vote. Gallagher?
Yes.
Griffin?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sampali?
Yes.
Callahan? Yes. All right. Excellent. Thank you. First meeting of the month. Go to the order. Opportunity. If you have anything you want to say, add, any changes?
No, I'm in good shape.
So no change, just a reminder. I know I talked about this many, many meetings ago, but we all have a platform. We know that the override is important, so we should all be using our respective platforms to do a few things. One, educate the public on what the override is, because I feel that although we are in the know and the people that are probably here watching it are in the know, there is a huge population that is ignorant around what's happening. And they don't know what's going on. And if they have some information, it may be incorrect information. So it's our duties as representatives of the public and speaking for the schools in our capacity, since the school cannot speak and support it in one way or the other in their means, for us to direct people to the correct content that informs people about what is happening, what it's for, the importance of it, the consequences, and that they are not scare tactics and they are 100% real. And we've gone through some pain before, and I don't think we want to go through that again, because I think that was a paper cut in comparison to what's going to happen. So June 3rd, mark it in the calendar, vote, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell whomever, get them to the right places. Thank you.
No, and I know, you know, one of those platforms, Steve Sherlock and I, Franklin Matters, do chalkboard chats. We recap all of these meetings and usually sprinkle in a whole bunch of extra stuff. If any folks would like to join, as long as it's two or less, we're not having a quorum, but feel free to reach out, and we can definitely kind of go and schedule that and just kind of keep those coming. And online? All right. Citizens' comments. Are there any citizens in the audience, in person or online, who would like to make a comment on an item not on tonight's agenda and falls within the committee purviews? Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve Sherlock, 13 Magnolia Drive, Community Information Director of Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. A couple of public service announcements. Coincidentally, library's a big thing. We did have an interview with Aaron O'Leary, Pam Allard, and Bree Como. That audio will be coming out. Raoul III, a noted graphic artist, novelist, will be coming to the library May 10th between 1 and 3, targeted to the middle school audience, to talk about his art process, et cetera. This is something that, again, funded through Cultural District, Cultural Council, is happening this year. This is their third time. Great audio. That's coming out this week. Also setting up, again, library focused, about the BLAST, bringing libraries and schools together, again with Erin, but with Kaylee at the library. That's date TBD, but that'll be coming. Also on, I mentioned the last time we did the three students who did well, got great accolades, did not bring back the final one. But that audio is still available via podcast. It's also going to be on the radio this Friday, 8 a.m., 1 a.m., excuse me, 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. But the audio is on demand with the podcast. So you can either tune in specifically or get the podcast, either way. And then, yes, as you mentioned, if you have an opportunity to either join Dave and I in a chalkboard chat or want to do something indirectly or directly on your own, by all means, we've got time and wherewithal to do that. That's it for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nobody online, nobody else? All right, new business.
Yeah, next meeting, you can expect an update on the elementary report cards that we have previously shared. It'll be a revisit with the progress update as well, and then a vote to follow. It'll be in the discussion action. There'll be other items as well, but that's the most important one.
We got next meeting, April 29th.
April 29th is the next
meeting. Yeah, maybe we'll put a little 5-minute recess for folks to sign up for transportation during the meeting.
That's incredible. What a great opportunity.
I do.
Yeah, so I do have a question. So I know, Mr. Jagir, you'd mentioned, I know, on the whole override topic and potential cuts, I know you'd mentioned that you don't want us to get into the specifics around, like, what would be cut, per
like
se.
Like people?
Yeah, but could we, like, look to get something sooner than later of, like, what we would expect to see, or numbers or something, you know, like this?
Yeah, we can put together, I think I understand what you're asking. We can put together to provide as much clarity as possible around, I appreciate you saying you understand why we wouldn't want to get into naming individuals or positions, but just general, you know, to the detail that we can provide, we can put something together.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, it'll probably build off of that one-page document that we've circulated that had, like, the number, and then it did list some of the categories, but I'll just take another pass at it and see if there's anything else we can do to provide more detail.
Thank you.
Happy to do that.
I think it's stuff like that, you know, when we had the student fees, for like athletics and such, mm-hmm. that at least it's something tangible. Even yep. though, you know, it had that watermark across it to say this is just being discussed, you know, mm-hmm. decisions have not been made, at least folks can now kind of go, and as they're trying to figure out, you know, how do I want to go, how am I going to vote, how am I going to spend my tax dollars, yep. they can look at it and say in black and white, well, you know, if the structural deficit is not solved, this is exactly how much I'm going to be paying for baseball, for football, for soccer, and so on and so forth. Because
in
again,
addition
all this,
to everything. $2 million in reductions, in
exactly.
addition to.
Right.
Right.
Because, you know, all these, it's not scare tactics, it's just scary facts that exist, and people kind of have to understand that. So as much as you may be able to do,
sure.
Would be fantastic. Yeah. All right. Then now...
Can I mention one more thing?
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I forgot. I wanted to let everybody know that tickets for Empty Bowls are on sale April 1st. I know it's a big popular event, and we like to sell it all out. So you can get tickets online at the franklinfoodpantry.org. So just want to give them a quick plug. Thanks.
Excellent. All right. Now, finally, we will be adjourning to executive session and will not be returning to open meeting. Pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A3, to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining with the FBA, van drivers, cafeteria, ESP, LPN, and secretary units as an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the bargaining position of the school committee, and the chair so declares. B, pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A2, to conduct strategy sessions in preparation for negotiations for non-union personnel, or to conduct collective bargaining sessions or contract negotiations with non-union personnel. Is there a motion to adjourn to executive session?
Motion to enter executive session.
Second.
Second.
All right. Roll call, Gallagher.
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sahali?
Yes.
And Callahan, yes. Thank you all. Have a good
Thank
night.
You. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.